and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ah, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. What, May 1st? Very, very exciting. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's May Day, Jim. It's May Day.
May Day. May Day.
May Day.
May Day? What the hell is that?
May Day? Why, that's the Russian New Year. You know, we'll have a big parade and we'll serve hotter.
And then we'll invade Crimea.
All right. Wow, what a shocking day. Let's see. The Republicans block something.
Yep.
Something that might help poor people.
Something that 75% of the country is for.
Right. Minimum wage. And it turns out Mayor Rob Ford is an addict, you say?
What?
Oh.
He's passed out on the Chesterfield, eh?
Some things are so shocking.
Well, he only became an addict once a second crack-smoking video.
Oh, don't you hate that? Don't you hate that, you know? When a second crack-smoking video comes out on you?
Mm. He's the most exciting thing to come out of Canada in, like, ever.
Apart from Martin Short.
He always looks surprised to be anywhere, doesn't he? Every picture's like, what?
he's what are you talking about?
Exactly.
I'm not stoned.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so lots of stuff to get to. We have Nurse Jackie in hour number three, mm-hmm. Michael Tomasky of the Daily Beast, and right out of the box,
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
He's the anti-Shep Smith of our show. We pull him out of the closet every week.
That's right.
Good.
You know, the best thing about these Rob Ford things is, I agree, he looks surprised to be wherever he is.
Right.
But he also looks like the last part of his morning ritual is to just smear Crisco all over himself.
He's very sweaty and glistening, yes.
But the video was filmed in his sister's basement.
Yeah.
Like 5 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I thought my little life was sad in my basement here. But no, that's...
Yeah, I think Canadian Thanksgiving is going to be awkward.
Well, since I brought it up, so the Shep Smith story, obviously.
Right.
So Gawker obviously wrote a piece about how Fox News shoved Shepard Smith back in the closet. He wanted to come out, and they said no. So now Fox News and Shepard Smith are denying that, right?
Right. Is that in fact how he's coming out, by denying the fact that he's not being held in the closet?
I think the horse has left the barn at this point.
It's right? Well done, Gawker. Well done. Although, I don't know if Gawker watches Fox News, but you'd be hard pressed to not be able to tell that he's a gay.
Yeah.
I mean, he talks about True Blood more than I've seen True
he
Blood.
He does. Yeah, that's
a little
disturbing.
Every episode.
But, I mean, it is sort of interesting, isn't it, that, you know, if a lot of the details in the Gawker story are right, that, you know, in this day and age, it's okay to be in the NFL and the NBA, be help at Fox News would be the last bastion, right?
Oh, no. Well, you know, the only gay that the Fox News viewership is familiar with is the Enola Gay.
Okay.
And for the children at home, that's a really old, old plane
yes.
from a war.
1945.
All right.
B-29.
All right, children. You obviously tweeted as we were talking about all day yesterday. You said, sorry, conservative media, but Donald Sterling is not a Democrat. Mike Tomasky wrote a great piece about that, too, that he was being taunted all over Twitter. Like, I dare you to write about him being a Democrat. And he's like, okay, he's not a Democrat. He's a registered Republican for 25 years.
And by the way, I don't think it matters which party he's in, that he's a racist. One of my favorite things is whenever racist Republican pops their little head up, most right-wingers on Twitter or out there in the ether will say, yeah, Robert Byrd, anyone? KKK, a grand dragon.
Right.
Uh-huh. As if we're going to say, yeah, we didn't know about that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the history of the Democratic Party is demented. There was a long period of time where Democrats supported slavery and Jim Crow and some of the most horrible parts of our American history.
Yeah,
we're willing to talk about that, though, and what led to the change in the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When, you know, Johnson and Kennedy pushed for civil rights legislation that forced an uprising in the party by the Dixiecrats, who eventually left the Democratic Party for the Republican Party. Republicans seem to skip the last 50 years.
Yeah, that's why I personally love it when Sean Hannity always brings up Robert Byrd, because you're like, right. 40, 5 years ago? Is that all you've got, seriously?
Well, you know, I would say that, you know, 45 years ago, I would have wanted him booted out of the party, too.
Right.
But that didn't happen, unfortunately. And over those 45 years, he did the best he could to repent for those things. What you've got in the Republican Party is a lot of unrepentant thug racists. I mean, how many county party officials in the Republican Party have been forced to resign for circulating racist jokes about the Obamas or cartoons that depict a watermelon patch at the White House or the president dressed as a witch doctor? I mean, how many times does it have to happen?
Yeah. No, exactly.
And I'm not saying all Republicans are racist. I'm just saying it's a really comfortable place for them to be.
We have, as we always call them, a rash of whataboutists whenever there's another story about a racist Republican. But what about the time that Joe Biden said the thing about, you know, and exactly what Tomasky writes about today, that they ignore people that have records of fighting for civil rights all their lives and said something, you know, and misspoke, as opposed to someone like Donald Sterling, right, who's had a lifetime history of the opposite.
The crazy thing is that they expect that we're going to react like they do. You know, somebody bring up Joe Biden with me, I'll be, yo, yeah, that was really embarrassing. Uncle Joe really stuck his foot in his mouth. But then, if you bring up the fact that theirs is a party that has used race to win elections going back decades now, and that they continually defend racists by simply pointing out that there are other racists, which is not a defense of racist, you know, they go apoplectic and lose their minds.
Yep, yep. Let's talk Supreme Court. You had a number of tweets about that. You say because of an unusual epic blunder, Justice Scalia may have to retract his dissent in a big SCOTUS environmental case. What does that mean?
So, you know, Justice Scalia loves to make people look the fool if he thinks that they're not smart. And he wrote the dissent in this environmental case called Homer, which was regarding the Clean Air Act and whether the EPA has the right to regulate greenhouse gases and
it turns out they do.
Those can be regulated from state to state. And so he wrote the dissent in the opinion. The opinion was 6-3, so he's writing it for three people. And in that dissent, he cites a case that was unanimously decided years ago in which the EPA was fighting a lawsuit, and the lawsuit said that the EPA could take into consideration the financial cost it might take to do something right. And the entire Supreme Court sided against that rationale.
Right.
And yet, Justice Scalia, in his dissent in this opinion this week, wrote that that case was the opposite, that it was in fact the EPA fighting for the right to use the financial cost of something as a determination, which is the opposite.
Right.
And that that's what this case was about. He got them both wrong. They were flatly wrong. There's no debating that it was wrong because they actually went in and fixed his dissent.
That's kind of it's kind of hilarious. The case is named Homer, and he was like, "No, sorry."
Yeah, no, it's hard to hit a Homer when you've been mailing it in.
Yeah, exactly. the other thing you were saying, will the Supreme Court let cops access your OkCupid account without a warrant, or access your Grindr account without a warrant?
Yeah.
God forbid.
Well, or the photos on your phone, or your text messages, or your calendar. There was a case this week called Riley, and essentially, it started when a cop pulled somebody over for a traffic violation, and searched the person's smartphone without a warrant. And some lower courts said that was okay. And unfortunately, you know, we didn't have smartphones when the framers wrote the Constitution. But I don't think anybody in their right mind would think that today's cell phones, which can hold enough data to fill a football field full of books, I don't think anybody would look at those today and say that those are not the modern equivalent of our articles and our papers,
right,
which the Constitution was designed to protect.
It's basically our filing cabinet.
Right, so that's what this case is about, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like you're carrying a book anymore. You're carrying every photo that you've taken. You're carrying the messages with the people that you're dating. Gay guys, you're saving all of your Grindr activity. Tinder for the straight people.
Mm-hmm.
Every email, every text message, your calendar, where you've been on Foursquare, et cetera, et cetera.
See, the only way my calendar,
want to know.
The only thing way my calendar would be public is if Chris takes a picture of it with his cell phone. But this is, we all know I have a paper calendar.
But this is a huge issue for people who,
it is.
You know, keep... most people keep their calendars digital now, except for you, Stephanie.
Right, Right. I'm protected by being a Luddite.
Digital.
Yeah.
I mean, in theory, this would allow them to know where you've been and what you've been doing for weeks and weeks and weeks without a warrant. And the crazy thing is that let's say that they think that there might be something in the camera. They can go get a warrant to look inside of your phone. And if they feel that you're a danger to the police or that you might destroy evidence, they can look at your phone without a warrant. So there's nothing there that would say to a cop, you can't do this. There is a legal way to do these searches, and it's just on the cops to follow through and follow the law and the Constitution. So hopefully, you know, it looks like the justices, even though it was another one of these cases where the justices had to grapple with newfangled technology like telephones, you know, hopefully they'll do the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not particularly gifted when it comes to discussing technology, which is perhaps why you know, the best they can muster is some recordings of these oral arguments at the end of every week as opposed to cameras in the court.
Right.
But it looks like they're going to do the right thing on this one, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed. Real quick before we go, Carl, you know, the Republicans repeatedly blocking stuff that's wildly popular, like Chris was saying, minimum wage. Is any of this going to affect the midterms? I sure hope so.
I think it'll have some impact on the midterms. But, you know, one of the things that they've got in their back pocket is this redistricting, and it's going to take a wave election to combat redistricting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. And the next time we have an opportunity, Democrats need to be well-funded and standing up and screaming from the rooftops.
I think it's a great...
about these districts.
Right. I mean, I think it is a great first step that judges are striking down these voter ID laws, like in Wisconsin, though, right?
Right. Well, and you know, there are also these ballot initiatives that progressives are pushing to expand voting rights. I believe you've got that happening in Illinois and another state right now,
right.
To expand the rights of voters so that these voter ID laws and other efforts to strip voters of their ability to vote early can take place. So
yeah.
Really this is about expanding the rights of Americans to vote, protecting that right to vote, and ensuring that every vote is counted. And you know, if you want to know where Republicans stand on the issue, just look. Every state where there's an issue over this stuff is controlled by Republicans.
Yeah.
And it's an what's crazy is that even in states where Republicans control everything, but Democrats have no chance of winning the White House, they're not even trying this. They're doing the opposite, just like the Democrats. So, like in Utah, they're expanding the right to vote. They're expanding the access to the polls, et cetera, because there's no worry that Democrats are going to win there.
That's so curious. Huh. I can't imagine what's behind that. All right. Carl, great stuff as always. Talk to you next week, sir.
All righty. Have a good one.
There he goes. There he goes. Carl Fritz.
He's good.
He's a delight. And 100% less appendix.
That's right.
Okay.
Actually, I think just 25% less appendix. They only took off the tip.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just the tip?
Just the tip.
Okay.
Just to see.
So it was a Moyle who did the job.
Ah,
so, yeah.
Okay.
All
right, got it. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller. Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Everybody, that's all I want to do.
So it's the Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan show.
Chaka
right?
Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Chaka from Land of the Lost.
Chaka.
25 minutes after the hour. Nurse Jackie, live in hour number 3.
Jimmy. I can't wait.
Right? Lots of...
Jackie Khan.
Right.
Jackie Khan.
Schechner. No, Schechner.
Khan.
Lots of healthcare news we will talk to her about. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. And Michael Tomasky with a very scary story about what happens if the Republicans win the Senate.
Oof.
Yeah. All right. That's coming up next hour. All right. So there was so much sterling news yesterday. We did not get to talk about the botched execution.
Right.
And, fairly horrifying. So it took 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing is incredible, right? That they were going to stop it and then resuscitate him, which I know logically people are like, really? You're going to resuscitate him and then
kill him again.
Right. Right. But, it's like you heard the usual screaming. I heard some right-wing host go, who cares? Like how long it takes or whatever, as long as he dies. And it's just the whole point of our society. We're supposed to be better than
The criminals.
The murderers.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, I get it. I get it if it was your... I mean, it's horrifying what he in particular did.
The crimes were horrifying.
He raped, a woman, I guess, shot her and then had her buried alive. And so... Oof. I get that if you think if that was your sister or your mother, you're like, why shouldn't they die the same way that he did? You know, I get it, but that's...
This makes you know better than him.
Right. As a society, that's what we say. So it's, you know, the fact that... But this was just horrifying, too. I mean, the whole...
Right. Well, she... You know, the victim was put to death in a horrifying, unhumane way.
Right.
And with our death penalty, we're supposed to put the criminals to death in...
I mean, no, I heard somebody yesterday say, like, oh, he was in pain. So what? So was she. So was his victim. And it's like, but again,
okay, you're not,
so
you're not supposed not to torture we, someone right. as they die.
Yeah. I mean,
that makes you
is,
as bad as the murderer.
Right.
Yeah. And I get that every, in particular case, people have emotions around, but, you know, Jim and I were just talking about this. A new study out, and it's not like we don't know this happens. Shocking number of innocent people sentenced to death, according to a new study. This is the other huge problem with
That's why they banned the death penalty in Illinois.
Right.
Because a bunch of University of Chicago students
right.
found out how many innocent people had been put to death.
Right. And what have we been talking about for 3 days with the Donald Sterling case about justice isn't black or white, it's green? That's the other thing. I mean... obviously hugely disproportionately it's people that don't have the resources to an affluenza right. defense or I wouldn't do well in prison defense. More than 4% of inmates sentenced to death in the U.S. are probably innocent, according to a study published Monday. What the researchers call a conservative estimate about the number of wrongfully convicted death row inmates is more than double the percentage of capital defendants who were exonerated during the more than three decades that were studied. That means innocent people are languishing behind bars, according to the study. The great majority of innocent people who are sentenced to death are never identified and freed, said the lead author of the study. But with enough time and resources, the author concluded at least 4.1% of death row inmates would have been exonerated. In other words, more than 200 other prisoners would have been cleared during those decades.
Wow.
And, you know, that begs the question, even if it's one, you know what I mean? Does it matter even, like, how many innocent people we put to death? I mean, as a society, that's just, so anyway, the Oklahoma governor has ordered a probe of the... Really? You think something went wrong? Perhaps she's going to order an investigation of the boxed execution. Governor
I believe
Phelan.
The death penalty is an appropriate response and punishment to those who commit heinous crimes. The state needs to be certain of its protocols and its procedures.
Yeah, well, this whole thing, these were like experimental drugs. They haven't tried
tested this combination of drugs yet.
I mean, the whole thing is just...
Barbaric.
Yeah. No, I mean...
It's Dr. Mengele type stuff.
Yeah, if you read the description of what happened in that room, I think as a human, you gotta... Anyway, well, much more on this. As we continue, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
One great flaw in a democracy. It encourages
Stephanie Miller
to become pushy.
Somebody tweeted me, hashtag Steffi's Choice. I have to decide whether it's Max or Fred, the most handsome and the most romantic. No, don't ask me to do it. I can't.
I'm just here for the food.
What could encourage this sort of behavior?
The pretty lady fed me the food.
All right. 34 minutes after.
I know there's more food. There's more food.
That's
I
the only
it.
Reason
I know
do.
It. Because there's more food.
They love me.
I can smell it. I know it's here.
Okay.
Where's the food?
The good news is Fred rubbed all his skunk smell off on Jim's jacket yesterday. Mm-hmm. So thank good boy, Fred. Good boy. So that's all gone from the house. Sorry, Jim.
I noticed the urine smell is gone, too. Someone peed somewhere.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Talking about this horrifying botched execution. John Fugelsang tweeted, is that murder? Is this murder, the botched execution? I mean, the details were fairly horrifying. He shook uncontrollably, writhed on the gurney, gritted his teeth for several minutes. This was a new three-drug combination. So it took, and they said that, I guess, a vein failed. The corrections department director yesterday.
There was some concern at that time that the drugs were not having the effect.
So the doctor observed the line and determined that the line had blown.
I guess one of the lines administering the drugs had blown.
Right. Right. Well, that's they were trying to figure out if his vein failed, though.
But the Oklahoma corrections officer just said that it was one of the lines that was administering the drugs.
Right.
So
he was pronounced dead of a heart attack. Right. It took almost 45 minutes. They had sued. He and the other inmate had sued the state for refusing to disclose details about the execution drugs. You think we're a country that believes so much in the death penalty, we would have at least gotten this right by now.
Yeah.
I mean, one execution witness.
He began kicking his feet, lifting his head and his chest off the gurney, grimacing, clenching his teeth, and a couple moments he actually mumbled.
Hack in Denver, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Hack.
Yep, looking at Channel 9's newsfeed, that's the local CBS affiliate in Oklahoma City. It was overwhelmingly, well, he's dead, he was an animal, he was this, he was that. They're making the story as though somebody is excusing what the killer did. Nobody's excusing that. But nobody's raising up a question of the state's obligation under the Eighth Amendment either.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's what we were saying. Our whole society has been based on. I was watching, Rachel last night did a thing about all the ways we've, gone from hanging to shooting to, like what we've decided is too barbaric. Mm-hmm. And,
talking about that last night, I missed that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I mean. It's just the fact that they would do a new drug combination that they haven't tested. And I get the emotional thing that if it's your loved one that, but again, you can't sort of base it on the, okay, well, this particular guy deserved. The president's Jay Carney yesterday.
He has long said that while the evidence suggests that the death penalty does little to deter crime, he believes there are some crimes that are so heinous that the death penalty is merited. In this case, or these cases, the crimes are indisputably horrific and heinous. But it's also the case that we have a fundamental standard in this country that even when the death penalty is justified, it must be carried out humanely. And I think everyone would recognize that this case fell short of that standard.
I've always been a little squishy on the death penalty, to be honest. I mean, it's just, and that the first part of what he said, that it's not really been proven to be a deterrent. I mean, shouldn't that be the major? If
right.
A lot of people would prefer to have
you're not
life in prison, why
deter the guy who's about to die?
Right.
And if no one else is deterred by it, what's the point?
Yeah. Tom in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Steph. So I think one of the bigger tragedies here, not that there's not plenty to go around, is how the governor just decided to totally ignore the separation of powers. What our country is based on, when she ignored the Oklahoma Supreme Court stay and said, I'm going to do it anyway. And then the legislature, in order to intimidate the justices, drew up impeachment proceedings, and lo and behold, the justices caved and said, we're going to lift our stay. Go ahead and kill him.
Yeah.
That blows my mind as a constitutional lawyer.
Yeah, well, I mean, and plus it's like when you look around the world, I mean, we're in some pretty bad company for countries that have the death penalty.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But what's going to happen to her? I mean, if nothing happens to her for doing this and this catches fire like a lot of these things do in the red states, our total system is going to founder in terms of respecting the co-equal branches of government,
and Tom,
I think that's a serious issue.
How do people react, or do they, to this study I was just saying that it talks about the number of innocent people that get executed?
Tom Coburn on Morning Joe this morning said, well, that's just an estimate. We've got to separate estimates from facts.
Yeah.
I was like, really? That's the best you can do?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, did we just say that's okay? Like, that's just, oh, well, that's, that's...
Stuff happens.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. We guys have a good day.
You too. All right, Lynn in... no further questions. Lynn in Ontario, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lynn.
Hi, Steph, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Here in Canada, we won't extradite people to the United States if they face the death penalty. Canada simply says no, it's life in prison, or have a nice day. And like you said, too many people are on death row who have been proven innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a problem with executing people, Jeffrey Dahmer being a clear case, he admitted it, they caught him. we knew it would happen there. Again, I don't have a problem.
Well, he wasn't executed. He was kind of beaten to death.
Right, in prison.
Yeah.
In prison, and he died very badly. Yeah. I'm well aware of it. I believe they shoved a broken broomstick up his anus.
They did.
Oh, dear.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't want it on my conscience, killing an innocent
man. Yeah. Well, and that's what I mean. I get the emotion behind the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know, I mean, it's, you know, this is what they tried to trap Dukakis into, right? Like, what if it was your wife? And, I mean, they it's, you know, dark, but wasn't it the SNL sketch or somebody did something about, like, them proposing whole more and more horrible things someone would do to Kitty to see if he'd get a reaction?
Right.
But, you know, again, it is more a statement of who we are as a society.
If you're going to be, if you're out for vengeance, if you really want to do the vengeance thing.
Yeah.
Then let the family kill him. Be honest about it. This hypocrisy and no, it's state sanctioned. No, if you want vengeance, then let the family kill him.
Yeah, yeah.
And the family of the victim should be able to say, override the court and say if they say death penalty, and it should go to the family. And the family should be able to say no, life or death. We don't care.
Right. And, you know, again, we've all had people that have wronged us in life where you've had that thought about, do I know anybody in the garbage business in New York? you know, but it's like, but as a society, that's where we say exactly that that's not what the law exists for, is vengeance, you know, is emotional vengeance.
And it's not a justice system. It's a judicial system.
Yeah.
I have a brother-in-law who's a lawyer. He pointed this out to me. A justice and judicial are different.
Right. Right, yeah, exactly. Well said. All right, let's go to Jim in Florida. Hi, Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello. I'm going to change the subject a little bit. I was thinking about Mr. Sterling and the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
My suggestion is, why doesn't L.A. buy the Clippers? Frankly,
the L.A. can't even fill its potholes. I don't know
if they
have money to buy the Clippers.
Yeah, I bet you they'd pass a bond for that, though.
Yeah.
I don't think the city of L.A. is interested in.
You know what's interesting, though, Jim? We did talk about this yesterday. I mean, it is. You say it's changing the subject. It's actually not, because we're talking about what justice in America. And unfortunately, the best justice Donald Sterling's going to get is here. Well, take a giant bag of money and go away. You know.
I don't see Sterling as much as a racist as an oligarchic.
Yeah.
Well, it's about both.
I really get
the impression that black, white, brown, yellow, whatever, he's going to treat his underlings like that. That's the attitude. I don't think you're going to find. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
you,
but
you
he
really
has a history
that,
of treating really, right people with.
Right, but you think that Donald Trump or Sheldon Adelson or the Koch brothers or any of those nitwits treat their help any better? You know,
yeah,
listen
but
to
I mean,
Trump for a minute.
Right, but I mean, he has a history and it's well documented. Whether it's the racial, you know, discrimination housing suit or the Elgin Baylor suit, I mean, he has a history that does involve race as well. So.
I agree wholeheartedly, but there is, to me, there's the larger picture of entitlement of
billionaires. Right.
You
yeah.
know, that they're allowed to be that way because
right. But this is why this does go
everything.
Right. This is why this does go to the justice system, the death penalty, all of it. Because who was the other case we were talking about? Not just the affluenza guy, but, oh, the guy that said I wouldn't. He raped his 3-year-old daughter, and he was like, I wouldn't do well in prison. Like,
yeah.
Oh, like the rest of us would? I mean, okay. John in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, I agree with the president in terms of the death penalty. I think I think the specious argument that we execute innocent people, they could just. There's so many people on death row that are just so obviously guilty that there's absolutely no question whatsoever.
Right.
And if we started carrying out the death penalty on those people immediately and rapidly, I think then there'd be a deterrent. The reason there's no deterrent is there's no uniformity. You get sentenced to death in California, and this guy who killed Polly Klaus, he harasses the family of the kid that he killed from death row.
Yeah, I remember
that. They can, because they can still do websites and they can still communicate. Charlie Manson, you know, had an iPhone. So there's
which doesn't make sense to me.
They killed his family heinously They kill your family heinously. They get sentenced to death. And for 20 years, for the rest of your life, the victim's family's lives,
yeah,
they can harass them from death
row. Well, that's insane that they would allow cell phones.
Or any kind of contact. Or,
yeah.
Well, I mean, but I think it's the prison unions that allow them in.
Because they get them from prison guards.
But isn't that part of, you know, to say it's a specious argument to talk about that we sometimes execute innocent people, I don't think that's... Specious at all. I think he's talking about people who, no question, they admitted it. But there's not going to be uniformity. Isn't that part of the argument against the death penalty?
Well,
just because of money?
But the death penalty also goes state by state.
Yeah.
So, exactly. So you're sentenced to die, it's reviewed, and if there's any question whatsoever, they don't kill you. But if there's no question, you are guilty of murder. And you're sentenced to die, but it should be carried out. Honestly, it should be carried out.
I agree with you.
Right.
I agree with you, John.
Yeah, I mean, if they're right, if there were uniformity in the justice system in a perfect world, but there's not.
There you go.
Right. Right, but my, I mean.
Oh, I know, but
here's my more important question is, I honestly, you know, I'm sure all of us have been depressed in our lives and thought about suicide and yada, yada. I mean, why do we as a society think, oh, it's better? You know what I mean? I think for a lot of people it would be worse, life in prison than...
Have we ever had a president elected that was against the death penalty?
No, probably not.
I don't think so.
And I don't think that's ever going to change.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. But the thing is, and why it's such a moving target of an argument is, we don't kill the people who society says your sentence is death. I mean, look at Richard Ramirez.
Yeah.
He died in the hospital. He was getting cancer treatment when somebody out in the public was denied cancer treatment. And he was, and my gosh, how could you be worse than him?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, yes, I get it. I get the ironies of that, that's the emotional thing. People are going to say, why are we treating them and blah, blah, blah.
Well, you know, President Dukakis was against the death penalty. Oh, wait, that didn't happen.
Oh. Right, exactly. And this was exactly the issue.
Because he didn't have the elevator like
John
Lovitz.
Because he seemed like he didn't have the emotion. Like, what if someone raped your wife and killed your wife?
You know, he was running for president at a time where the death penalty was relatively popular. It's gone down in popularity now, and it's still trending down. So we may get to a point where we may elect a president who is against the death penalty.
Yeah. I mean, that's my only, like I say, I understand the emotion. I really don't see why we think that life in prison is not a worse sentence. But anyway, all right, we continue 48 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Make what?
Oh, no bread, please. I'm dieting.
Little origami kind of things.
Yes.
Gawker's reporting that the Nevada ranch militias are starting to turn against each other over drone attack theories.
That's great.
Yay!
Spectacular.
Oh, Your dog opened the door again.
Wow. They are the smartest and the most handsome and romantic.
And the loudest.
Really loud. All right. So we've been talking about the botched execution, but, you know, it is interesting. Someone was saying, oh, on a different subject, the Donald Sterling thing. Not really. It's all about, you know, we were saying justice not being black or white, being green, you know, in terms of, you know, how our society punishes people. And that's, to me, how can you not be horrified by this study saying how many innocent people we have likely executed or are on death row now, you know, in terms of, in the light
of
this.
Hey, you want to make an omelet, you got to kill a few innocent people.
All right, just as the Donald Sterling thing is about black and white as well, just saying. Cowbell.
Hey, more cowbell.
The point guard's black, the forward's white. The owner wants half out of his sight. His girlfriend's black. Girlfriend's white, the whole world knows his words tonight. It just wasn't right.
Ha,
and now the owner who has The world is black, the world is white. We all told him to fly a kite. Our plane is black, our plane is white. The Indians swept him from our side. We feel good tonight.
Give it a
minute.
Get it. The one, the only, Rocky Mountain Mike, and Mary and Nancy in Ann Arbor.
Yes, the both of them.
Very, very exciting. Rocky Mountain Mike and I spoke on the phone yesterday.
Aw.
We're working on a very exciting project. We're all going to announce soon.
He's a lovely man.
Oh, he is delightful. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. AJ in Orlando on the botched execution. Hey, AJ.
Hey, good morning. How are you, Steph?
Good morning. Go ahead.
Good. I guess if... Rob Ford approved anything yesterday, that's nothing good happened in the basement, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, Rob Ford.
Yeah.
We don't have them here in Orlando. But anyway, I was thinking about the execution, and I'm not for, I mean, I'm kind of on the fence like most people for executions. I mean, even if those statistics are incorrect, you know, 50% of them, by half, we still, half the people we kill are innocent. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
it's terrible. The systems are terrible. But I was thinking of
like I was saying, it's why, you know, race is involved in this. Money is involved, like in most things in America. I mean, we disproportionately execute black people. We disproportionately clearly execute poor people, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But I was thinking of a humane way to execute somebody. What if we just took them into an operating room with an anesthesiologist and put them to sleep and then harvest their organs?
Well, yeah.
It sounds ghoulish, but I guess.
Well, life gives you lemons. I mean, you know.
Yeah, life gives you lemons. Something good or livers.
You going to finish that? Yeah.
This is actually was not a bad idea. It just sounds creepy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. You know. If you were the recipient of that organ, how would you feel?
I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, who hasn't woken up in a bathtub full of ice missing an organ?
It happened to me in Cancun.
Well, who hasn't?
I was missing a guitar, not an organ.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't as bad because I've got a bunch of them.
Robert in South Carolina. Hi, Robert. Welcome.
Yes, a while ago you mentioned an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I believe the King James Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord."
Oh, boy.
So if somebody takes vengeance... revenge on another, is he not pretending to be God for a moment or so?
That's the other big argument against the death penalty. It is playing God, and when you look at a study, it's like, what do you do? Say, oh, oops, you know, killed how many, you know, innocent people? Yeah, exactly. Okay. Oh, all right. He just emptied his load, and that was because it was a good one. Mm-hmm. When you have a really good Bible verse, you're done. That was like and
oh,
scene.
Okay.
And scene. Okay.
I thought he was going to call Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction on our
end. No. No cleanup necessary now. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Michael Tomasky, much more as we continue. Jackie Schechner in hour number 3. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know, right? As a new Twitter queen, you think you would not have to show me how to put pictures into my Twitter thing, but
you've tweeted pictures before.
Well, this one was one that was in my text. It's one of Max and Fred. It's coming, everybody. All right. And also, thank you for all the nice comments on our sexy liberal Chicago photos, of which there are scads.
Yes.
And Albuquerque is next weekend already, you just reminded me. May 10th.
Next weekend. Not this coming weekend.
No.
Next weekend.
Yes. May 10th. Do it. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang tomorrow, of course.
Yeah.
For Fridays with Fugelsang. All right, lots to get to, obviously. We've been talking about the botched execution. Oh, by the way,
what?
Power of the Stephanie Miller Show. Because you said the NAACP should give the money back?
Yeah.
They got it from Donald Sterling? Guess what they did?
They're giving the money back.
Yeah. Because you said it. You were very exercised about it yesterday.
We'll see if it really happens.
Yeah. Although, again, this is all part of the overarching discussion about justice today. About someone tweeted me yesterday about, oh, here, we're going to take these scholarships away from black kids. That'll teach you, Donald Sterling. Take the money back. I mean, there is no justice in this.
It's the principle.
I understand. The director said there is a personal, economic, and social price that Mr. Sterling must pay for his attempt to turn back the clock on race relations.
Yeah. I mean, if you've seen his ads in the L.A. Times, it just touts his foundation and all of the organizations.
Donald Sterling's ads about himself?
Yeah, yes. And it just touts all the money that he gives away to all these organizations. And he's just buying favor with these people.
I wish I could afford ads about how great I am. Because well, you know I would place them if I could.
Well, those ads are also as offensive to the eye as his words are offensive to the ear. It's just horrible typeset. Ugh.
By the way, we were talking about, obviously the justice system in the wake of this botched execution.
Uh-huh.
This is just, there are so three leagues, 92 teams. There's one black principal owner in the NBA. 76.3% of NBA players are African American. 43.3% of NBA coaches are black, compared with 2% of the league's owners. Of the NBA's 49 majority owners, Michael Jordan of the Charlotte Bobcats was the only person of color.
Mm-hmm.
The majority owners in the NFL were all white, according to the study. In 2013, about one-third of NFL players were white, two-thirds were African American, and again, save for one owner, all of the owners are white. And now you know who might do something about it?
Who?
Oprah.
I think she told TMZ on the sidewalk last night that she wasn't going to be doing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, because there was speculation. She said she was not planning to try and buy the Clippers. They had said she was considering an ownership bid alongside Larry Ellison and David Geffen.
Yeah.
And Winfrey said yesterday the same thing we did, that Magic Johnson would be a good choice to own the team. So ESPN was reporting she would join up to buy the team, but would only be an investor, would not run the team, which is a shame because she has an awesome hook shot. I've played with her. Oprah is not interested in running the team. Geffen said she thinks it would be a great thing for an important black American to own another franchise. I think just justice-wise, I think people just hope that happens. And Magic Johnson would be...
Magic Johnson would be a great choice.
It'd be magical.
He's been a great businessman ever since he left, the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly.
He's very, very, very rich.
He's got a big chain of theaters.
Yeah.
Yes.
LeBron James of the Miami Heat.
No matter how long it takes, no matter how much money it costs, we need to get him out of there. You know, whoever's associated with him, he doesn't belong in our league.
So what is the deal with V? Is that her name, V?
V, it's V, period. So we don't know what the first name is, just V.
What does it stand for?
V. Stiviano.
Right.
Yes. She's the girlfriend or the archivist.
Right. Right. You know, Jim, as billionaires
archivists
half their age. To...
Yeah.
Right. Because wasn't her camp was putting out she was never involved with him sexually? And we're like,
well, she... she archived me half to death. Wow. She's a wildcat. That was some archiving.
So this was her. This was her on the street. It's hard to hear. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she went I mean, have you seen her?
Yes.
She's had that big visor on over her face, all over the place.
Why?
She's doing some welding on the side, like in Flashdance.
Sure.
Yeah. She's a welder on the side.
She's Rosie the Riveter
to hide her face. And now there's a meme going around Facebook with people putting their profile pictures up with a big visor over their face.
Don't make fun of her.
Why?
Well, yesterday, it's hard to tell what here, because her camp again said she did not release this tape, that someone released it for money.
That's possible.
That there was, I don't know.
I mean,
they said she was upset, I guess. She didn't want any harm to come to Donald. She was shocked by the lifetime ban. She didn't, you know, want this to become public necessarily.
Donald Sterling has a lot of employees that come in and out of his, you know, house or office
all of
or whatever.
Know that he's a douche.
Exactly. So, I take her at her word that she didn't release it because there are a lot of people that could have.
Right. But here she is yesterday on this street.
One day I will become president of the United States of America, and I will change the legislation and law in which we be enacted. Modern day history, civil rights movement.
Okay, what she said there is that she will one day become president and will change the legislation and laws for modern day history and the civil rights movement.
Huh?
Oh, dear.
Presidents.
are not
yeah,
kings.
I know. I know. She needs to keep quiet, like write
or read
now.
A book, maybe. Yeah.
Is she working for Sarah Palin just to make Sarah Palin look better and less dopey? Okay. Oh, those
presidents
those archivists.
Presidents don't change laws.
Oh, right.
But they archive them.
God.
I archived the hell out of those laws.
She just needs to shut up now.
Wow. Bill in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of sick and tired of all this bloodlust in America. We seem to think that killing something is the right thing to do for just about everything. When we don't like a country, we load up the military, we wave the American flag, and let's go kill something.
Yeah.
I'm 100% against the death penalty. I look at all of our good friends that have a death penalty in other countries like Iran and Egypt and Saudi Arabia, North Korea, China.
Yeah, I mean, Bill, I said that last hour. Is that the company we want to be in? You know,
it is not.
We're one of the only civilized countries.
Not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if, you know, Illinois has finally decided that. You know, there's actually innocent people on there, and they've actually released probably 3 or 4 in the last couple of years that have been exonerated with new medical technology proving their innocence. How many more are sitting on death row? How many more people that are innocent are going to die in the next 20 years because we got to kill something?
And, you know, Jim and I always commented on it. Just, I think when it became most repugnant, and you can't help it that, you know, politics has something to do with it, but George Bush is sort of barely disguised glee
right.
about killing people.
They'll be put to death.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, remember that? He couldn't wait in that debate to go, yeah, you know, having those people. It's like he got giggly in his face.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah, and then he was mocking, what's her name, Carla Tucker?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't Carla kill me.
Yeah.
Please don't kill me. You'll be put to death.
Yeah, whatever Yikes. We think of the death penalty, it seems like in a civilized society it should make us giggly.
Right, Germany doesn't have the death penalty because they did entirely too much of that in the last century.
Yeah. Yes. Krista in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Krista.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
It's my understanding that the drugs that we use for the death penalty we're no longer able to get them from the European companies that produce them because they don't want to sell it to us for killing people. Hence, you know, having to make these cocktails that haven't been tested on people to kill them. And I think there's something to be said with dying with dignity. You know, do the crime. You've done the crime. You've done the time. You're paying the price. You should at least be able to die with dignity.
Even if you're being executed, you should die with dignity.
Speaking of smart girls from Asheville, Van Thiel reminds us that the idea about shouldn't we just put them under and harvest their organs?
Yeah.
Hippocratic oath. That would be why you can't.
Oh.
Because doctors take an oath to do no harm. So I would assume that would mean killing someone and taking their organs would be probably among the things that would be against that. Just saying. Okay. Jay, and it was a practical solution,
I understand. We can hire organ grinders monkeys.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi,
Speaking
Jay.
Of George Bush.
Hi. Jay in Tucson. Hi.
Hi there. I'm entirely opposed to death penalty and can go on for hours on the subject. I think if we're going to make errors, let's make them in favor of being too kind. But I'm surprised this hasn't come up, that the medical profession is not are not the people to consult. The profession to consult is veterinarian medicine. If you've ever had the unpleasant experience of being with a beloved pet when they are put down, it's a very gentle process.
Yeah,
it's very quick.
And if a veterinarian can, you know, do this with a horse, I think that's where they need to look for their answers.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because doctors aren't trained in putting people
right.
down.
Well. Yes.
Unless you're Dr. Mengele, but that's...
you know, Jay makes a great point.
Yeah. Jerry in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
I'm the corrections officer, and at the time, the reason they don't use the injections and they don't allow the medicines is because the drug corporations don't want people to know that they're killing people on the side, so they stopped that. And the Hippocratic Oath, of course, goes with the doctor and the anesthesiologist. So they're not allowed to do it either.
Right.
And they're trying to find, they're having a hard time finding a drug market that will take them because, like myself, a lot of people are against the death penalty, and just because you do it with drugs does not make it better.
Yeah, 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 I hear you. I remember I had an endoscopy once, and I looked at the anesthesiologist right before I went under, and I said, please don't kill me. He laughed. He laughed.
It's good.
Before I start counting backwards.
Was it an evil laugh?
Of course. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, we roll along on The Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this, the Twilight Zone?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she wonderful? Isn't she lovely? Made
of love. Tiny hamsters eating tiny burritos.
Oh, yeah. Saw that a couple of days ago. It's cute.
Oh, it's a little...
And a lot of little hamster farts.
He kind of eats burritos like the way I eat burritos.
Really?
Just kind of shove the whole thing. Yeah.
Awesome. This is why we can't have nice things, because we're distracted by that, because that like has a zillion hits.
Mm-hmm.
Although I was distracted briefly by the drunk elephants. Did you? The national park in South Africa, a field guide captured images of drunk elephants who were stumbling around.
They ate a certain fruit from a certain tree that makes them drunk.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But
is that what drunk uncle ate?
But enough about the Republican Congress. Hey. See, led by Boner, who's also... All right, which is why we can't have nice things. Oh, looky here. Senate Republicans block minimum wage bill.
Yeah.
Huh. Let's see, more than 60% of Americans. That's more than 60%, Jim. Of Americans back it. Oh, including a large share of Republicans. Huh.
The American people want to work for pennies. Ugh. Minimum wage. They should work at a tavern.
I was doing a drunk elephant. Okay. Yeah, boy. Okay, so even if the measure eventually passed the Senate, of course it would be blocked by the drunk elephants in the House. it will. I love this. Do we have John Cornyn? Wait, hang on.
Yeah, we do.
I'm not sure if this is the thing, but go ahead. Do this.
This is all about politics.
Right.
This is about trying to make this side of the aisle look bad and hard-hearted.
That's right. Easy to do.
And to try to
rescue bad and hard-hearted.
This midterm election coming up in November.
Yeah, he said it will actually hurt more people than it helps.
Right.
It would be great if we lived in a world where Washington dictates what wages can be,
sure.
And peace and love and happiness will break out the age of Aquarius.
We had to burn
Washington
the village to save it.
Has somehow distributed free money. Hello, Donald Sterling. It's not free money. People are working for it.
Yeah.
And it's paying people a living wage.
I read somewhere online that the Koch brothers are behind
really?
The killing of this bill.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
How interesting. How interesting. Mm-hmm. The president yesterday.
Americans have been way out in front of Congress on this issue. In fact, about 3 in 4 Americans support raising the minimum wage.
That's screw them.
That's like 75%, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go
who cares?
Right. Let's go to Carolyn Madison.
Screw them.
Yeah. Carolyn Madison, hi.
Hey, Steph. Hi, Mooks.
Hi.
I want to go back to the botched execution situation.
Yep.
I really think the death penalty is just totally inhumane. I don't believe anyone should take another life, no matter how heinous the crime.
Yep.
But I also want to address the story that we've gotten around this. I'm actually a registered nurse, and if you've got a problem with a vein, what you get is a localized reaction, which would like just be in the arm and around where the insertion is into the vein.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't get that whole body reaction that they're describing.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're getting the real story here either.
Yeah. Well, what was the, there, you know, obviously there's a lot of, you know, they're reviewing past botched executions, and wasn't there one where the guy said, I'm on fire, my body feels like it's on fire? He, first of all, he wasn't supposed to be talking,
right,
or conscious.
Because he's supposed to be paralyzed and, deadened.
Yeah. But, yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, Carol.
So, thanks. That's all I had to say.
Oh, okay.
Today.
All right. Thank you, Carol. Yeah, yeah. Edith in San Antonio on the same subject. Hi, Edith. Hi, Edith.
Oh, Anita.
All right. Anita. Well, Travis is
okay.
Drunk. Go ahead.
Okay. Chris, I know you think we should only execute people that we know are guilty, that have confessed, but there are a lot of people on death row who have been forced into confessing to things. Or confessing to things they didn't do.
Well, you know, knowing for sure that someone did it means more than just a confession, you know.
Well, I know, but remember the Central Park jogger case?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Remember that? Remember those guys? Everybody knew they were guilty, and it took years before we figured out they weren't.
Right.
Or here in Texas, we've executed two people who we later found out were exonerated after we already killed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who were exonerated by DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. DNA has been a huge... This is the Innocence Project. I mean, this is... Yeah.
Well, DNA also helps us know for sure that someone committed a crime as well.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, but a lot of times those things don't come out till later. Mm-hmm. A lot of these things, and we don't have DNA in every case. Eyewitnesses, like the worst...
Well, then don't offer the death penalty for those cases. Then you don't know for sure in those cases.
Well, yeah, but who's going to choose that? I mean, who's going to make that decision?
A judge or a jury of your peers.
A judge or jury of your peers is going to decide that. Well, that's what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm. But with DNA evidence, we have a lot better evidence now.
But we're convicting innocent people still. We convicted two innocent people here in Texas, and our governor refused to allow the DNA.
Yep, I hear you. Mike Tomasky next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mom, I got beavers again. Ew.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Nurse Jackie on her way in. Jackie's Healthcare Corner, live in person right here in studio. Hour number 3, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, this is Michael Tomasky has too much good stuff to even get to. We got to post these. The first one is a very scary story about what happens when the GOP takes over the Senate. Eek. Michael Tomasky joins us now. Daddy, why did you write such a scary story?
Children, we need to hear these things. It can't be pleasant.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not just one big party, Stephanie.
I know, you know me, I'm happy clappy, but... You know, but it's true. If people, and look, whatever will motivate turnout, I'm all for. Because you say passing a federal law banning almost all abortions after 20 weeks, defunding parts of Obamacare, weakening the EPA, kneecapping the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Elizabeth Warren's baby, which obviously regulating consumer fraud, and maybe just maybe letting a Supreme Court seat sit vacant until after the next presidential election. This is to sum up, elections matter, right?
That's what I'm trying to get across to people, yes. And you hit the nail on the head when you mentioned turnout and motivation. It's no secret that a lot of people on the liberal side, a lot of groups on the liberal side aren't very excited about voting, aren't very excited about this election, pretty dispirited. I think a lot of, I don't know, I think the NSA stuff was very dispiriting to a lot of younger liberals and turned a lot of people off. And, you know, just the continuing not-so-great recovery and just limping along in the sixth year. There's just kind of a blah feeling on the liberal side and a revved-up feeling on the right, of course, because they're always revved up. Because as long as Obama has the audacity to stay in the White House, they're going to be revved up.
Mm-hmm.
So something's got to rev up the other side, and nothing revs people up like fear of what might happen.
Well, right. I mean, as you were just saying, that first paragraph, just the start of what happens if Republicans win back the Senate, it'd just be a steady stream of legislation, much of it conservative. As you say, the president would have to start vetoing bills, right?
Yeah, he's only vetoed two bills. It's the least of anybody since James Garfield, who was assassinated after about 6 months in office.
Wow.
Wow.
And he just doesn't want to be, he, Obama, just doesn't want to be that kind of figure, right? I mean, just temperamentally. He wants to be above the fray, and he doesn't want to, you know, have to take that kind of really in-your-face stand. But if there's a fully Republican Congress, he's really going to have to, because they're going to pass some stuff. The first thing you mentioned, a virtual ban on almost all of, there's an exception for the life of the mother, but there's no exceptions for rape and incest, on any abortion after 20 weeks. The House has already passed this, last June. The Senate, if it were in Republican hands, and Republicans were running the calendar and deciding what gets to the floor and what doesn't, the Senate would surely take it up, and the Senate could pass it, and, 'cause there are some pro-life Democrats who could get them to 60 votes.
Yeah.
The Senate could pass it.
But, you know,
and then Obama, you know, obviously he'd veto that. He'd have to veto that. But there'd just be a stream of these things.
Well, I mean, but, you know, you sort of boil it down. Is it, what we've seen so far, that's all they're interested in politics and in keeping power. They're not interested in getting anything actually done to help the American people. You say, imagine a Republican Congress with an eye toward 2016 that take a number of steps to make it harder for presumed Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton. First and foremost, would be continuing the investigations, redoubling them into Benghazi. I mean, this is what we would get, as opposed to anything the American people are for, right? Like the minimum wage or, you know, gun control, any of it, right?
Well, they just showed us yesterday we're not going to get any minimum wage.
Yeah.
And they're showing us today that we're going to get more and more Benghazi, because they're holding a hearing on Benghazi right now in the House. But, you know, if the Senate flips, then the Senate will start doing that too. Whoever's going to be chairing the relevant committees is going to join Daryl Issa and be doing the exact same things. And then most of all, Stephanie, they are going to continue what they've done for the last 6 years in, you know, trying to keep the economy from growing too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, you make an, or you quote Sherrod Brown. You said, you know, their whole effort is grounded in contempt for government on Medicare, Social Security, consumer protection, regulation of Wall Street. If you want to know what a wholly Republican Congress would do, the thing to look at is what they've done in state capitals where they can. In Ohio, they've gone after voters' rights, workers' rights, women's rights. You know, so that you know, you don't have to guess what they would do, right?
That's right. Yeah, they've shown us. We've seen the game plan in Columbus and in you know, North Carolina and in other places. Raleigh.
Right.
You know what? There, Raleigh, North Carolina. I know the capital.
And you raise an interesting historical perspective about, you know, that this happened in '94, and then, you know, Clinton and Gingrich eventually worked together. But I mean, as you say, parties are more dug in than they were 15, 18 years ago, especially the Republicans. And that all they're looking for is, you point out, the most effective way to harm Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, and the most effective way to harm Hillary Clinton, as I quote Bill Galston of the Brookings Institution in there, is saying, is to keep Obama's numbers down. And if Obama's limping out of office at 42%, that's going to be a drag on Hillary and is going to just persuade more independent voters that maybe they should give the other side a chance. But that, of course, depends on who the other side is. If the other side is some crackpot, Hillary's probably safe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is a scary story, and I urge everyone to weed it.
Yes.
If you get motivated for 2014. By the way, there's one thing I think people have learned in the Twitterverse, that is, don't poke Michael Tomasky with a Twitter stick. I love, yeah, these conservatives were hilarious, right? Rush Limbaugh, other conservative, rushed to say Donald Sterling's a Democrat. And you wrote a great piece, Donald Sterling and the Never-Ending Fantasy of Democrat Racism.
Oh, God.
Right? Right.
I didn't want to write this piece, Stephanie. Yeah. I it was my duty. It was my obligation.
Of course.
Because the story broke last Saturday, and immediately this website, this URL was going out, was whipping around about political donations of NBA owners. It listed them all, not just Sterling. And it showed that Sterling had made these few $1,000, you know, very small donations a number of years ago.
Right.
And so at the Daily Caller, at the National Review, at some other conservative outlets, they pounced right on it, and aha, Democrat. Sterling's a Democrat. Look, we got us a racist Democrat. Forget about Bundy. We got us a racist Democrat. And I thought,
How easy is it to just Google? You know, as you said, Michael Hilsick tweeted it immediately from the L.A. Times that it's not hard to find someone's been a registered Republican for 25 years, right?
Yeah, it's not that hard, and he has been. And shocker. What a shocker. He's a Republican.
Yeah.
But, I've been getting under some people's skin with this theme, but...
Well, I mean, and you were, you know, because we always call our callers the whataboutists that call after anything like this happens. Yeah, well, what about the one time that the Bill Clinton or the Harry Reid or the Joe Biden said this thing?
Yeah.
And you make the best, you make it the best way. You say, here's the contextual difference conservatives either can't understand or won't concede. Biden and Reid both have long, long histories of supporting the Voting Rights Act, affirmative action, civil rights expansions, a view of the Constitution that endorses a broad interpretation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, and federal judges who back all those things. Likewise, Bill Clinton, who said some things in the, you know, the primary that obviously people took to have a racial tinge. But, you know, you're right. They try to put that in the same context as Donald Sterling's entire record, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they don't accept that. That whole context makes any difference. In fact, to some conservatives, to a lot of conservatives, to a lot of people I was hearing from on Twitter, that record is also racist, right? Affirmative action is racist.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Voting Rights Act is racist. All those things. This, sir, is the real racism, somebody tweeted.
Mentioning racism makes you a racist.
Right. It's like someone said, Michael, that, you know, the Cliven Bundys and Donald Sterlings of the world, they this is why they make Republicans crazy, because it's like, no, you're not using the code words you're supposed to use, but it's basically the same kind of
inner
ideas.
Inner city people, wink, wink.
Right. You know, it's the same ideas. That, you know, and as you say, they can't acknowledge the larger context of Democratic support for the things that have mostly improved black people's lives and Republicans' almost total opposition to them since at least the 1980s.
So they have to construct this whole other fantasy narrative where those things have all been bad.
Right.
That's how they have to do it. And but boy, it gets their blood boiling, I'll say that.
You say, by the way, you've been actually saddened by the enraged denial I've seen on Twitter. I have no doubt if I were conservative, a real believer in free markets and the rest, I'd be wondering why my team was getting 5% of the black vote at best. I'd be trying to do something instead of fabricating these fantasy reasons why everybody else is wrong. I mean, because that to me, that's racist in itself. It's like, oh, you're just implying that black people must be dumb because they hardly vote for any Republicans. I mean, there is a reason.
So where are they? So where are these conservatives? Where are these Republicans? I'm really desperate for them to stand up and exist and say, you know, for example, our party shouldn't be doing these voting. Suppression things, you know.
Right.
We know who that's aimed at.
Well, I think frankly, Michael, I hope it happens again in 2014. There was a backlash to it last time, you know. Black people are A, not dumb, and B, you know, take very, very seriously their hard-fought one right to vote.
Yes, well, they should.
Yeah, and so, anyway. All right, Michael, great stuff as always. What can I say? Even when it's scaly.
You keep saying that.
Yes. Even when it's scaly, I love it. All right, thank you, Michael.
Happy weekend.
You too, honey, you too. There he goes. Michael Tomasky of the Daily Beast, who I want to date and kiss a man. Okay, 44 minutes after the hour. Hey, speaking of dating and kissing and marrying... Who knows what's going to happen at a sexy liberal? You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago was, you know, what happens in Chicago stays in Chicago. Just saying. You can
it
tell
stays buried on Laura Wacker.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, all the great pictures up from Chicago Sexy Liberal at Sexy Liberal Facebook and sexyliberal.com. And don't forget, coming up next, not this weekend, next week.
Dear Republicans, this coming election year, progressives everywhere want to thank you from the bottom of our bleeding hearts for being you.
Don't!
From your war on women, thanks for pissing off half the country.
Oops.
To the government shutdown, absolutely brilliant.
You must be stupid.
We'd send flowers to each and every clown and carnival barker in your broken, dysfunctional party, but instead, we're throwing a party. On Saturday, May 10th, the world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico for some good old midterm mocking. Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will perform live on stage at Popejoy Hall. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com. Don't miss the sexy liberal Schadenfreude.
What the hell is that?
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, May 10th at Popejoy Hall in Albuquerque. Go to unmtickets.com.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's Minneapolis, June 7th. Go get it. All those tickets going very, very fast. And sexy little John Fugelsang joins us tomorrow for Fridays with Fugelsang. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online from anywhere. Start your free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and type in the promo code Stephanie. All right, 51 minutes after the hour, Nurse Jackie on her way in for Jackie's Healthcare Corner. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Lots of people want to talk about the botched execution. Gene in Minneapolis, who I believe is a psychologist. Am I right, Gene?
You're right, Steph.
There.
I can't believe your memory.
There you go.
Steph, I am aware that in China, they actually pick up prisoners from prisons in vans, and the vans are equipped to kill those prisoners and harvest their organs as they drive to hospitals.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and some of those people have been given the death penalty for things like failing to pay their taxes.
Yeah, well...
Chris, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, you want to... Anytime you want
to say, Chris, if I'd be with you if I could really be sure that we could really truly know that somebody was guilty and deserved the death penalty. The problem is that nothing that we have can really be a sure thing. Eyewitnesses aren't a sure thing. There have been studies by psychologists that have shown that eyewitnesses are going to give you different stories who are all sitting in the same room and observe the same event.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think we pretty much knew about Jeffrey Dahmer, though.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but I think that's only one of the issues, knowing for sure, because again, you're never going to have a perfect criminal justice system, and that's this new study is
horrifying. And our justice system takes that into account.
But I mean, this new study shows it's a lot more innocent people that we have executed or are currently on death row than we've ever known, and that
most of those got on death row or executed before we had DNA evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Archie in California. Hi, Archie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
This is my first time, and I want you to know that you are safe. Don't be afraid at home with your two baby polar bears and Travis. Is there any chance I can call you privately so I just don't have to go through the clever mental competency test with Travis? You are safe.
Okay, this is the creepiest call I've gotten recently, but go ahead, Archie.
Oh, the next time I want to tell you about the first time I saw you on a station called Current. And then they pulled the plug on you, and then they found you on free speech. Executions.
Okay.
Number one, if they're found guilty, the families or family, if they want vengeance, so be it. Number two, the coward then gets the choice of life or death.
But our justice system is not based on vengeance.
Yeah.
It's based on justice.
Well, yes, justice too. Justice first. But number two, maybe the coward.
So what you're saying is you passed the Travis psychological screening test?
I love it.
You did.
All right.
Travis.
All right. We might need to have some training.
Okay. let me review the fun facts. The answer to the question is, could I talk to you privately? The answer would be
no.
No.
Could I talk to you privately?
The answer to the question is
There's
no.
There's some things we need to discuss.
I don't want Travis. Brown. What are you wearing? Can I call you later? No.
Can I?
Send me another picture, because the old one is used.
It's got dirty.
very, very dirty.
Yes. You've been with me many years. You know how many times I've gotten that letter? Can you send me a new picture? The old one's dirty.
Send me a picture of your feet.
And what do we say to try to be helpful? Laminate, people.
Yes.
Not with that.
That's what I was doing.
And then you showed pictures of your feet and whatever just to make the foot fetishists happy. And you just encouraged them. That's all you did there.
Many, many disastrous decisions in my life. What's your point?
I need some more foot pictures. Old ones got dirty.
Hi, Beth in Virginia. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for letting me follow that guy.
Yeah, great. Okay.
You cannot possibly be as creepy no matter how hard you try.
Well, I wanted to make a fairly simple point that, you know, the Eighth Amendment of our Constitution prohibits cruel and unusual treatment or punishment.
Punishment, yeah.
And torturing a prisoner to death is pretty cruel and unusual. So if we fancy ourselves a country of laws, that is, you know, kind of the prime.
Right.
And we're really not following it.
Yeah.
And I also have to say, I am quite touched with Chris's faith in, you know, the efficacy of our finding for sure that people are guilty. I mean, if you read over some of the cases where the death penalty has been challenged or, you know, the effectiveness of counsel, I mean, there is a very low bar for, I mean, yeah. They have allowed, like, attorneys who were drunk in court
mm-hmm.
to be
found. There's no need for snark, Beth.
I think there is.
There's no need for snark, Beth.
No, I think there is.
No.
I wasn't.
You said you were very touched by. Thanks.
Oh, I am not being snarky though, because I have read some of these cases where the death penalty has been allowed to go forward, and the incompetence of some of the attorneys appointed for these people. It is not a joke. Or
yeah.
You know, one of the reasons that the fights on these death penalty cases go on so long, because even in the face of evidence of actual innocence. Prosecutors fight it. Governors fight it.
Yep. Yeah.
The Supreme Court will not, you know, have the case go back. So it is not.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and
sure that someone is guilty of a heinous crime is
to
not.
Me. But see, to me, those are the two strongest arguments. That obviously, you know, justice is not always done. And number two, I just don't. I don't see where what life in prison isn't worse. I don't know why. I mean, I think the whole. By the way, Daniel Crawford tweeted to me. Murderers should have to spend the rest of their life watching CNN Malaysian Airlines coverage.
That's true.
That might be something we could all agree on.
Yeah. That's a fate worse than death.
Or maybe listening to the Dana Loesch show.
Yeah!
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So we mentioned this earlier. Fox News denies Shepard Smith. Oh, my. Damn. I've slammed into another hard break without a helmet.
Talking about Shepard Smith and hard? Come on.
He's always in a hard break.
Uh-huh.
All right. Oh, come on now. Jackie Schechter, much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Why? Because look. Oh, my God.
Yeah, pretty girl's here.
I know. Pretty girl's here. Pretty girl's here. Here she comes. Oh, she brought an iced latte. There she is.
I do. I think
a little closer to Jim.
It burns the lights. The only one who didn't fail and got it right was Jackie Schechter. She doesn't know.
That line refers to something specific.
Yeah.
The only one who got it right. What was
it? Was the Supreme
Healthcare.
It was the Supreme Court decision.
Healthcare ruling.
Yeah.
You're right.
And they were talking about whether or not the mandate was constitutional. And we just actually didn't jump on it before we read the whole thing.
Okay.
Which most people
did. So you luckily got it right.
I read.
Okay.
The answer to the question, who is the only reporter that got it right? Jackie Schechter on Current Television, Current News Center.
Remember current?
Back in the day.
That was fun.
Remember that?
I remember.
Current. It's not very current anymore.
No, it is not current.
It's currently defunct.
It's currently Al Jazeera.
Yeah. I went to a dinner last night, a birthday dinner, and people were like, oh, do you work for Al Jazeera America? And I was like, let me tell you a story. By the way, though, did you see me tweeting like a big girl? And what did I tweet? I said, who is the smartest, prettiest girl?
It was very sweet.
There's Jackie.
What encouraged you to get on the Twitter machine?
I don't know. Just
boredom.
Right. Loneliness, boredom, desperation, not sure.
Are you on the selfie trend now? I haven't seen a lot of selfies.
No.
She doesn't know how to take a selfie.
Yes, I do.
Do you know how to turn the camera around?
No, you just taught me today, though, how to get pictures out of my thing right. into the thing.
Do you know how to take
I'm a Twitter newbie.
Do you know how to turn the camera around and take a front-facing picture?
Yeah, no, I had to do that.
Okay.
There is a betting pool on Twitter as to how soon the inadvertent naked selfie will be tweeted by me during
cocktail
hour. I love
that. Yeah, the accidental nudie.
Right.
Oops. Accidental.
Oops, sorry, I was trying to just send it to Jim. Sorry.
I think accidental nudies go along with the loneliness.
Why are you putting quotes around loneliness?
I don't know.
All right, Jackie.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so, why looky here? Just one good healthcare story after another. What the? Major insurer reports a better-than-expected mix of Obamacare enrollees.
Oh, look at that.
WellPoint, second-largest insurer in the country, reported yesterday, a stronger-than-expected first quarter of 2014. Huh, they're doing very well, the insurance companies. Hmm. Interesting.
And that's why they hate it so much.
Right, the company reported...
making them all that money.
Yeah. They had added 1.3 million customers to withdrawals, about half of which were from the federal exchanges. The enrollees were younger and healthier than it feared a couple of months ago.
Socialism, communism, Kenya.
There goes that storyline.
So maybe now they'll stop playing around with the networks.
Yeah, WellPoint had warned in March that it could see double-digit increase in premiums. That was the latest doom and gloom storyline. However, they reported enrollees had tracked younger toward the end of the enrollment window, which you said, because kids don't do anything to the last minute. It's what we said. are in line with their projections. The CEO said our membership is growing across our platforms. We're pleased with the progress we've seen in the exchanges. Oh, also, 90% of enrollees have paid their first month's premium, which was also the other. Oh, nobody paid.
The other
talking
point.
Nobody's paid. Nobody's paid.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how this is all shaking out. I think the idea now is to keep an eye on the insurers and how they're manipulating the law to continue to make money. And what I'm noticing is how they are limiting the networks, and that's what I was referring to. I've had some back and forth with Blue Shield, which is my insurer, about access to doctors and facilities, and I've heard anecdotally.
Speaking of Twitter queens, she's been all over the Twitterverse with this.
You have.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, this is my best outlet right now is my own website, which probably needs a makeover, but that's where I can put everything out, and then I can put it out on Twitter and Facebook, and then people can respond, which I love. I mean, to me, I've always loved the interactivity of the Internet. It's been a big part of my life. But anyway, back to what's going on with my personal health insurance company with Blue Shield, which is obviously a large insurer. And WellPoint, I think, is the parent company of Blue Cross, Blue Shield. It's all interconnected, or a lot of the Blue Cross, Blue Shields. But what they've been doing is limiting the network of doctors and facilities that are in-network, right? When you have a plan, you have in-network, out-of-network. If you have a PPO, you can go in-network and get everything covered. If you're out-of-network, usually they'll contribute in some way, right, 50%. Right. But they're limiting the in-network, and they're doing that by offering doctors and facilities a rate cut. So they'll say you can be a part of our network, but you got to take a cut in your reimbursement
and
rate.
And 30%?
Yeah, 30% is what I heard, and then I went to Blue Shield, and I had a back and forth with them, and I am all for full transparency, so the entire exchange is linked. You can see everything that I wrote and everything that they wrote, and I will give them credit for getting back to me, because what are the chances some corporate flag for Blue Shield is going to respond, and they did, and we went back and forth, and all of it's right there. You can see what they said, and I hate to be that crazy skeptic, but I don't believe that people who make money off of denying healthcare payments have my best interest at heart.
Exactly.
So what they say, they do a lot of dancing. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
They dance very, There's a lot of dancing around the issues. And I don't believe what they said was that they spent many, many years negotiating with doctors for these rate cuts.
Right.
And I don't know any doctor who voluntarily would accept 30% cut in reimbursement. So it's all well and good to say that this was collaborative, but I don't really think that healthcare providers collaborated with insurance companies mm-hmm. to accept less money for the services they provide.
So where does this go from here? I mean, how?
Well, this is what I think is really important. I think it's really important for people to pay attention, and I think it's important for us to give some muscle to the insurance commissioner, especially here in California. I know there are other states like this too, where the insurance commissioner just doesn't have.
We had a better idea last week, as you recall, and that would be making you the insurance commissioner of California.
I think that'd be swell.
Well, there should be a job out there where I can do this for a living because I get some sort of crazy joy out of it. It's really bizarre how excited I get when I discover something that I can dig into in this realm. But the insurance commissioner here in California,
you're like a tiny gerbil digging into a tiny burrito.
I love those videos.
I do too.
That's
do
how
too.
You are with a little healthcare nugget. Yeah.
Did you see the original one with the carrots?
No.
There's a hamster eating carrots, the little baby carrots, and he shoves like 10 carrots in
his
mouth.
This is why Jackie Schechner absolutely must be insurance commissioner or get a job of some kind.
Yeah, because I have way too much free time. And then I saw the tiny burrito video, and I thought, oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
Oh, that is just awesome. I love how concerned the chef is about whether the gerbil will enjoy the tiny burritos.
It's adorable. Did you link to this on your Facebook page?
We will.
Or, okay.
Oh, well, now
so
that
people
we
know
said
what
it.
We're talking about because you sound like a crazy person talking about.
No, people know what we mean. Sadly, this is
it's
America
it was
now.
All over Facebook.
Yeah, everybody. Everybody's seen
okay,
it.
So everybody
yes.
knows what we're talking
I'll,
about.
I'll post it just in case.
Okay. Right. Yeah, no, it's I have way too much free time.
The fervor with which you said, I love that video.
Yes,
I
was
do.
A little much. Okay. Oh, by
I
the way.
I contemplated sending it to my boyfriend, and then I thought, no, I'd like to keep my boyfriend. Let's not show him how excited I am about the tiny burrito video.
I think he'd like it. By the way, we did this yesterday. You heard in your home state of Florida. You saw Rick Scott's hunt for Obamacare horror stories didn't go so well. I love this story. He went to Boca Raton, to a senior center.
To Boca.
Boca.
Did he get a schmear when he went to Boca?
He was looking for stories of elderly victims of Obamacare. Instead, he got completely satisfied, very happy, very pleased, no problems.
Pretty much.
Those were all the...
Did you hear when Rick Scott went on Facebook to take questions and he just got trolled for 20 minutes?
Yeah. He doesn't know about the social medias.
No. Oh, he's so scary.
He probably doesn't know about the mini gerbils.
I would love for him to get defeated. If Florida, if you're listening.
Charlie Crist is ahead by 10 points.
That's great. That's fantastic news. I mean, get rid of him. He shouldn't have been in office in the first place. Let's send him
Rick
packing.
Scott.
Yeah, Rick Scott, not Charlie Crist, but Rick Scott. Let's
right.
Let's get out and vote and get rid of him, please.
And yesterday we said Rick Scott looked like the Nazi at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Melted.
Just, you know.
Partially melted.
No, he's just such a bad...
I mean, the sun is hot in Florida, but
he's
still.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I can give you story after story. He's just a bad dude.
Yeah.
And
well, I don't know how he got elected. I'm like, wait
money,
a minute. He
money,
did the
money,
biggest
money,
Medicare
money,
scam
money,
in the... What?
Money,
how did
money.
He... Huh?
Money.
He's nationwide.
He has a lot of money.
Why wasn't he in the big house instead of the state house? I don't understand. How did he just... This is like the Donald Sterling thing we were saying about there's no justice when you're really rich in
no,
this country.
No.
His justice will be, okay, you have to go... But here's a giant bag. Here's another $1 billion.
Yeah, he was dismissed or asked to leave the company before the company was... This was the hospital kind of scam.
Right.
Years and years ago where eventually it was Medicare fraud and kickbacks to doctors and that kind of thing. He ran a hospital chain.
Right.
That was at the time fined the largest fine in U.S. history. So he was dismissed before any of those convictions came down.
Oh,
so he'll say
how convenient.
That he'll say that he was never convicted of anything. He was
right.
not responsible, although he was CEO of this company at the time these bad acts happened.
Huh.
Yeah.
I see.
But he had nothing to do with it.
Right.
So either he's a totally inept manager who had no idea what was going on in his own company.
I don't know what's happening. I don't know.
Billy and Phoenix with a quick one for Jackie before we go to break. Hello, Billy. You're
well,
on
I like a good quickie. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're on with Jackie.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Well, hi.
Good morning.
I have a question for Jackie. I was just wondering, when anybody ever left their job or quit or got laid off, they went on COBRA, which costs like five times as much to stay insured. Does that go away now with the Affordable Care Act?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know that COBRA goes away because COBRA wasn't mandatory.
Right.
Right. COBRA was, it was expensive though. It was 100% of what your employer paid plus an extra 2% in administrative costs. So if you had a good group plan, which was like $600-$700 a month for a person, let's say, you then paid that plus 2%. So yes, it was very expensive and totally unreasonable because if you lose your job, yeah. Who has that kind of money
right.
to pay for COBRA? I think COBRA
right.
will.
I think it became kind of twisted. You know, it didn't make sense that, you lose your job, you don't have the money, and then they're going to charge you five times as much for your premium.
Yeah. And the chance, exactly. And the chances are that you probably couldn't get insured in the private market because you're part of a group. Well, couldn't,
right.
but a lot of people couldn't because you're part of a group plan as part of your workforce. So the only way you could keep any sort of health insurance was to go on COBRA, which was totally unaffordable. I think it probably still exists. The law doesn't get rid of it.
It's an additional option,
right?
But it's not probably your best option anymore.
Right. I think it'll probably get phased out.
Right.
And more importantly, the only reason you stay with me.
Yeah. Yes, because I can't afford COBRA.
But that's
die or something.
That's an excellent point. I don't know that COBRA isn't going to legally go away, but I
right.
think it'll probably get phased out because it doesn't make any sense
right.
financially.
Okay. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more Nurse Jackie on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Moving on to new business, what act of unmitigated evil shall the Republican Party undertake this week?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You've seen the difference, and it's getting better all the time. I'll stop the world and melt.
Stephanie Miller.
We know. Jackie looks great. Stop sending creepy emails and tweets.
I'm flattered. You can send them.
Oh my God, Max is even acting.
Yeah, aggressive.
Max
Who?
Really excited.
He's like, I've never seen the two of them go at it the way they were going at it during the break.
He's trying to impress you by, Fred's head. That's what he does. He's like,
yeah, that's impressive.
I'm the big dog. Look at me. I'm the alpha dog. That's me.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of email. Jackie looks really great.
Yeah. I just took a screenshot.
I told you that's what it is. Animals strike curious.
And I don't have a camera.
Oh, Jim
Louise.
You started it.
Oh,
we got a giggle out of the ton on
I
that
hate,
one.
I hate to say how many screenshots people have right now of Jackie. And God knows what they're doing, Jackie. I apologize.
It's screenshots of me staring at your bronze butt.
Yeah.
I know, you're making really excellent points about healthcare while
I'm staring at a bronze
being partially
butt.
Blocked by my ass. I apologize.
It's small, though, so there's not a lot of blockage.
It's
actually smaller than here represented here.
Right, that was earlier. That was pre-spinning.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Where were we? Oh, that's our show. Highbrow, lowbrow. You bring the
mostly
highbrow.
Low.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12. We got to get a couple more in for Jackie.
Sure.
Heather in Wisconsin. You're on with Jackie. Hi, Heather.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. My mom works for Head Start. So in the summer, she's essentially laid off.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to get, she's told she can have COBRA. And it's like, it's, a really high price. And I heard you guys just talking about COBRA. What I'm wondering is if she's, just laid off for the 3 months in the summer, can she sign up for the ACA? Can she go to healthcare.gov and see once if it's cheaper, to go on the marketplace to find something as opposed to getting COBRA?
She should be able to. She'd have to get sort of a life change event exemption because there's not an open enrollment period where she can enroll at
okay.
that time. But I think if you lose your job or there's some sort of life changing event that qualifies. Sorry, there's some background.
Heather, we really are concerned about your mother, but Jackie is making Max insane. I'm so sorry.
if you can get an exemption to enroll in the off enrollment period, then she should be able to do that.
Should be able to, even though working for Head Start, and it's normal to not to not work in the summer.
Yeah, I that's interesting to me that they stop coverage for that 3 month period.
I don't think they do for the salaried personnel.
Gotcha.
She's a cook for Head Start, so she's off in the 3 months. I mean, normally it's you know, it's never been an issue, but my dad, you know, just his place of employment just shut their doors after he's worked there since he was, you know, 16 years old.
Oh,
so
they're, wow.
You know, they're 62, 63, and you know.
So they're close. They're waiting for Medicare yet,
Right,
yeah.
But they need the insurance because my dad has type 1 diabetes. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would take a look at the plans on the exchange. And, you know, I just found out here in California through Blue Shield, they said that the plans that they're offering through the exchange and the plans they're offering just through calling or through a broker should all be the same. I didn't understand that to be the case originally. They claim that they're all the same. So whether you buy through the exchange or buy directly from the insurer, all the individual and family plans should be the same products.
Yeah.
Now, you can't get a subsidy if you buy off the exchange, but they claim in writing that they're all the same plans.
Yeah.
So you should be able to shop either through the exchange if you want.
And Heather, good luck.
Yeah.
Now, every time I hear one of those stories, I just keep going, why can't we just have Medicare for all? There's all these heartbreaking stories of people that are like, you know, crawling on their hands and knees to make it to Medicare because of, you know, and there was just a story I was saying yesterday about how many middle-aged people are moving back in with their parents because the economy is so bad. I discussed it with my 91-year-old Republican mom the other day.
You thinking about moving in?
Got my eye on that bedroom in Charlotte. Yeah. I'd have to, you know, sit through a lot of Fox News. But still, you know, you got to take what you can get.
That's a lot of woman and dog in one.
Yeah, well, we have a plan. I would have to learn to play bridge.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah, and she's like, oh, yes, dear, and of course we cheat. I'm like, yes, that's how we would support ourselves. It would be like a you know, elderly The Sting. All right. Now
leave it to a Republican to suggest cheating.
Of course we'll cheat. Yes, dear. Oh, it'll be a Ponzi scheme, dear. All right. Right back with Nurse Jackie on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Broads don't belong in broadcasting? Is that the kind of professional courtesy you teach your news department?
Why, that's just terrible. I don't know how many times I've told those boys never call chicks broads.
Why, you slimy!
Why, I never. What's that, Jim?
Here's a headline from James Franco. I never had sex with Lindsay Lohan. Oh, you're the one.
Oh, stop it.
You're mean, y'all.
He says, just for those of you that need this information to move on with your lives, they did make out.
Oh.
Was it.
Okay.
He says she was obsessed with him. I woke up at 3 a.m. to find Lindsay standing in my room.
Oh, well.
Oh, that's crazy.
She seems like that type.
She kind of does.
Hi, what are you doing?
What?
See, this is, speaking of creepy, okay, Jackie Schechner makes male
animals.
Makes men and animals species, crazy. Yes. Max is barking to get to Jackie.
It's very strange. I'm not new. Like, I've been here before.
For some
Travis,
reason.
Travis, you need to let Max in. Do not keep him away from Jackie. It's making him insane. As all if. Like all the men that have screen
usually time. I make the men around me insane, not the men you keep away from me.
Oh, my God. Look. He's licking her arms. Oh, my God. See? Look.
Hi, Max.
Oh, my God. That's creepy. Okay. Look at Jackie. Why you're being sexually molested by my...
Here's the best part. I'm like, oh, he's all wet. And Steph goes, yeah, he's probably drinking out of the toilet. I'm like, that's
great. Thanks.
Thank you.
That explains the pink eye.
Okay. Cynthia writes, I have a question for Jackie. Sorry about that. My sister posted on Facebook that her car insurance premium went up because of Obamacare. She didn't go into any details. Is this true? Is there something in the ACA that would cause car insurance rates to rise? She and her husband own a small business with just a few employees. Cindy in Florida.
That sounds like one of those fun Facebook no-fact posts.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's actually the opposite. There have been a lot of articles about how car insurance rates would go down because of the Affordable Care Act, because people who now can afford health insurance don't have to buy excessive coverage through car insurance in case they get into an accident with somebody who's uninsured or an uninsured motorist to cover their medical, because your car insurance also includes some medical coverage. So the more people who have separate health insurance, the less money they would have to pay for more benefits within car insurance. So there's actually been some articles about how it could bring car insurance rates down.
You know, be careful when you see this stuff on Facebook, and I'm happy to debunk it.
Right.
But it's easily Googleable.
Googleable.
Is that a word? To find out when there's all of these rantings and ravings on social media.
Yeah, but what do you type in to Google? When, you know, it's for some people that's hard to figure out what to search for.
Fox News bull.
Well, you know, car insurance. It's easy to say that, but that's...
Car insurance, Affordable Care Act, or okay. Car insurance. I mean, I hate the word Obamacare. We know how much I despise right. it, but car insurance, Obamacare.
Okay.
Right? You know, and there'll be articles and information, and you just have to be discriminating when you go through and read the news. Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, Travis. Travis, some helpful rescue. Paper towels to wipe off Max's
You guys have a
slobber.
Cigarette, I feel like.
Not
Max,
discriminating.
Max is looking at you in the afterglow.
I don't even
Look
smoke, but I feel like maybe yeah. that's what we need at this point.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Fox News bull, you mentioned you knew Shep Smith.
Not personally. I mean, okay. We both worked at Channel 7 down in Miami.
Okay.
I started my career down in Miami. Mm-hmm. I was a sports producer at the Fox affiliate. Oh. He was down there at the
yeah.
time.
Well, Fox News and Trevor Smith are denying it, so you know that means it's true, that the Gawker story that Fox tried to shove him back into the closet, that he wanted to come out. And
he's never talked about his sexuality, as far as
right.
I know.
But he's dating a really young guy, apparently, who wants to be more out than they are. And so I think the guy is pushing for it.
Yeah.
And Shepard is trying to...
And also, they're saying it was that he was demoted to an earlier time slot, and they think it was about this. He was named managing editor of the news division last year, and his Studio B program at 3 was renamed Shepard Smith Reporting. Mm-hmm. The other name they considered was Hey Girl. No, they didn't.
They did not.
Well, he and Chris Wallace are the only two real reporters on Fox.
I know.
You know, they did actually a great job on 9/11. They really.
Yeah. No, yeah. He frequently well. Steps off the reservation, not in a gay way. Right, but just like in a way where you're like, was that a fact on Fox?
What?
Was that a hard question?
Actual journalism? What?
His show may go over the top sometimes if you've seen it and if you've seen The Soup make fun of it, but it's actually a solid program.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been regarded, I think,
yeah.
as a solid reporter
yeah.
and anchor mm-hmm. And well-respected and been in the business a long time.
He does talk about True Blood a little too much.
Does he? Yeah.
He does.
Tip off, Shep.
Hello. Hey, girl. Hey.
Are you guys into Orphan Black?
No, but Travis is.
Okay.
Don't get him started. Dude,
don't.
This is my new. I just discovered this because it's on BBC America,
yeah.
and they now have it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, Orange is the new Orphan Black?
Exactly, right? Yeah. So I've just discovered this new time suck.
There are not enough tiny hamsters eating tiny burritos to fill one entire day.
I know, and now I'm on this Orphan Black thing. And one of our spin instructors, Gina, looks
right.
like the girl from Orphan Black,
oh.
which apparently I'm the 8,000th person to tell her this. But yes,
don't
I
tell her she looks like Lewis Black.
By the way, I can't believe I'm having a party Saturday at which Jim will be molesting some of our spin instructors, and you're not going to be in town.
I'm not. No, I'm going to New York for a few
God.
Days, unfortunately.
Now what's Max going to do?
He's going to hump one of the spin instructors.
Sure, yeah.
This is
yeah.
what's going to happen.
I was saying earlier, Jackie, just the interesting thing real quick about the Fox thing. You're like, wow, so the NBA, the NFL, everywhere is fine now to be gay, but not Fox News if the story is
yeah, I mean,
you know.
I don't know how true it is. Obviously, it makes for good headlines.
Well, he's out now, obviously.
I have a gay friend who works in the online department. He does design.
You
for
have
the,
a gay friend?
What?
Just one.
Yeah.
It's a token gay.
Yeah, exactly. No, he works for the website at Fox
right.
News, and he says he gets treated perfectly fine there, and he's
yeah, but that's different than being out publicly. They're saying that
yeah.
they're afraid
yeah,
it would hurt his ratings with the Fox News audience, and
let's
yada,
be
yada.
Fair here. Anderson Cooper didn't talk about his sexuality
yeah, right.
for a very long time. I mean,
right.
I think he's more open now than he's
yeah.
ever been. But
right, but CNN wouldn't, I mean, again, if the story is true, CNN never told
we
him
don't
you,
know
you
that,
can't.
We
you know.
Don't know that. Do we know that?
What?
That CNN told him you can't come out?
I don't
no.
know.
No,
yeah,
I'm just saying.
Know.
Nobody wrote an article about
right.
it, so we don't
I
know.
I think Wolf Blitzer's very uncomfortable.
Well, but when he asked,
it.
Could I fly out as a toy plane, they said yes. Now you can if there's a toy plane in it. Go ahead. Yeah, interesting. Ellen Page, this is what I think, all of these stories, just add to, I think, the narrative. She said, I expected so much more hate. And she talks about because she was really nervous to come out. And again,
I was
pretty leading lady. That's another category. It was not a surprise to you?
No, I had kind of a feeling.
Okay.
But
okay. Well,
Spidey sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
His gaydar was up on that one.
That did not make it any easier for her, Jim. But thank you. She said, "I expected so much hate, but the aftermath was remarkably positive, which is beautiful because it's indicative of the change that's happening."
I love that.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
that the tide is shifting. And and this goes, I think, too, with the racist sentiment that we've seen come out of
right.
Donald Sterling in the NBA is that you know, we're, as a nation, mm-hmm. becoming so much more tolerant and open.
This was a tipping point.
And I
no,
love...
No, we're not. Shut up.
I love that, and I think it's such an amazing trend. But it also reminds us that there still are pockets of this country
absolutely.
That are not.
Yeah.
And
well,
I
mean,
think
right.
We
have
reminded
a black,
of that.
Right. We have seen our first black president, and we've seen unbelievable racist backlash mm-hmm. about that. And so, you know, but I think this really was an amazing moment where, you know, obviously the story was the players were going to not play any of them in the playoffs if, you know, this didn't happen. And I think, you know, sponsors, the country as a whole just said no.
Yeah.
You know, this is...
it's a wonderful celebration of how far we've come, which mm-hmm. is amazing. But at the same time, I think it's also a reminder that there's still work to be done. And
yeah.
we can't turn around and say, oh, there's no more racism.
Is it,
or
what,
there's no more homophobia. Like, we have to
is
be
what
careful.
What you're trying to say is it's not black and white anymore? Cowbell, please.
Thank you.
Well, cowbell.
The point guard's black.
Right.
The forward's white.
White.
The owner walks half out of his sight. His girlfriend's black. His girlfriend's white. The whole world knows his words tonight. It just wasn't right.
Uh-oh. Get it.
And now the world is black, the world is white.
Yeah.
We all told him to go fly a kite. A plane is black, a plane is white. The Indians swept him from our side. We feel good tonight.
Give it a bell.
Get it.
Get it.
Rocky Mountain Mike in his
I want to talk about this Vistaviano for a moment.
Yes.
Oh, yes, please.
What exactly?
You mean his archivist?
Yeah, I was going to say, what exactly is an archivist? And how does it pay so incredibly well that
yes.
she travels the
good
country?
Question.
How might I get a $2.5 million condo out of that job?
With her Hermes bags and her Louboutin shoes.
And a Bentley.
What is she archiving exactly?
But she was never his girlfriend. I mean, come on.
I know.
And who
I
believes
know.
This yeah. stuff?
Well, it doesn't matter now because she's going to be president. Did you hear this?
I saw this.
Well, yeah, you have to listen very carefully because it's hard to hear. But,
listen very carefully.
One day I will become president of the United States of America, and I will change the legislation and law in which we'll be able to make a difference in modern-day history, civil rights movement.
What? Okay, what she said is she lifted her visor.
No, she didn't lift her visor.
No.
She said it through her visor. She's never lifted her visor.
That's why it's muffled.
She's heavily medicated.
She said one
she's
day...
She's thought of
it. Just when you thought nothing could sound dopier than Sarah Palin saying this, she said, one day I will become president and I will change the legislation and the laws for modern day history and the civil rights movement.
For the record, that's not how laws are made.
Exactly. No. That's beside
well, listen,
the point.
Sarah Palin didn't have much idea what vice president does.
What really is with the visor?
She's hiding her face.
I know.
She
Why?
Gave an interview
all,
yesterday with a visor on.
We've all seen her face. We've seen millions of pictures of her.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
I don't.
Bad
then I saw her face.
And
something.
It looks like a visor
I told her to
she
put
got,
on a visor.
It looks like a visor she got on the Jersey Shore at one of those trinket shops.
It's like a welding visor.
Yeah.
It's not like a hi, let's go play tennis visor.
No.
It's like a weird face.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, like Flashdance. She could be a welder.
It's bizarre.
Sounds like she was standing on the George Washington Bridge.
She could be one of those very common, you know, archivist / welders.
Yeah,
sure.
She's just a
Rosie the Riveter / archivist.
Right. Right.
The whole thing is just strange.
Yeah.
It's as common here in L.A. as the model / actress, as the, you know, archivist / welder.
Yeah. And here's my conspiracy theory, and I'm not the only one. This is horrible.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She disappears in 6 months from a drug overdose.
Oh. Interesting.
The pressure gets too much
Case
for her.
Some more right. tapes.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me like there's... Sterling's a... I mean, not that I'm accusing him of doing anything, but
right.
he's a very, very wealthy man.
Just saying we're watching you.
And he knows how to get things done.
I'm just saying.
Sometimes people have accidents.
Right. There's a bag of vipers.
Sometimes people are clumsy when they're wearing a visor. They can't
Since
see...
They can't see where they're going, and they walk right off the bridge.
There's stairs.
That's
there.
The script someone should
and
write.
A
That's
a bit of
There's a Law & Order episode not based on actual fact in there somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes you're wearing your visor, you don't see the bag of vipers at the bottom of the stairs.
Great. You could have a face full of vipers because of your visor.
And, you know, they got all bitey.
Right, 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of Nurse Jackie on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, Nurse Jackie. Okay, Max is still looking at you in the creepiest way possible. In that post-orgasmic way. Okay, 1-800-STEP-1-2-B.
He is a little scary.
Yeah, right? A little scary, a little creepy.
But almost like I'm edible. You know, like not...
Well, he did. He's
waiting for you to die so he can eat you. That's
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's too challenging while I'm still breathing.
Right.
Oh, Jackie, the headline's just not good for Republicans going into the midterms. Love it or hate it, Obamacare is accomplishing its mission, law fulfilling its main purpose to provide health care for more people and reduce the portion of Americans without health insurance. What's pretty amazing is the number of people who seem to have gotten coverage, even with all the problems that an analyst for the Kaiser Foundation. I mean, that's the problem, right? Is that it's doing exactly what we said. And as you've said, not to say there can't be fixes and things.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the polls are saying, is that people are saying, let's stop with this whole repeal baloney and let's talk about making changes and improving it. Mm-hmm. But nobody wants it to go away anymore. I mean, I don't think people really wanted it to go away because they didn't like it. I think they had no idea what it was.
Right. And Democrats starting to run on it. Have you seen some of the ads? Awesome.
Not enough.
Jan Schakowsky? We talked to her about it. She's running on it.
Did she put out an ad?
I don't know if she did, but there's been a couple of really good ones where you
Allison
go,
Schwartz
take
and
the simple stories, the real stories of people going, I had cancer. I couldn't have gotten insurance before. I mean, there's so many of those real stories, unlike these, you know, bogus ones that they were trying to use as Obamacare horror stories, right?
There's a lot of stuff that you can use with this. I mean, you have to figure out what resonates with people, but not only the personal stories, which people sometimes have trouble connecting to because they sometimes are too personal. And people feel like it doesn't...
More interested what resonates with people.
What does resonate, I wonder?
But
by the way,
for example, wildly popular, had some glitches out of the gate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think every storyline has been like, oh, Democrats are doomed, Obamacare is a disaster. Well, the HuffPo just did the pollster averages. GOP is not leading in a single Senate race right now. So it's like, you know, and again, turnout. But I mean, they're doing these unskewing of the polls again, as President Romney can tell us about. The, it suddenly, the salon writing suddenly started to dawn on people that Obamacare is working and the Republicans have nothing to respond to as a result. We're even starting to see Democratic health care ads. This is the one, Begich in Alaska. He had a breast cancer survivor. Lisa Keller stresses Obamacare's coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. She said, I was lucky I beat cancer, but the insurance company still denied me health insurance because of a pre-existing condition. I now have health insurance because of Mark Begich, because he fought the insurance company, so we no longer have to. Simple, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And, you know, I think that, I mean, it's one of many issues. And I think that Democrats just need to stand strong on what we believe in and stand for. And that's the problem, right? People are just kind of afraid to take a stand because they're afraid of how it might poll or they're afraid of... And I think that people like conviction. I mean, that was what made Bush popular with conservatives. They didn't necessarily...
Oh, he had a lot of really, really wrong convictions. You're right.
But they liked that he was convicted.
But he was right.
Right.
People like strength.
He should have been convicted in The Hague, but that's another story. Listen, Mark Pryor's challenger in Arkansas, Tom Cotton, they just put out this ad. Over 155,000 of Arkansans now have private health insurance. Tom Cotton wants to take it away from them. It's simple. Mm-hmm. It's like you are, okay, your opponent is running on taking away what you have now.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. Let's be honest, though. The key right now is going to be turnout because it's a midterm election. It's hard to get people. I mean, we have the right to vote in this country, and people choose not to. And I think that's so disturbing.
Yeah.
That's
what they're saying. They have the map on their side. Their base voters tend to show up more in off-year elections than we do. And Salon's saying Republicans are more intensely tribal than Democrats are. They are running purely on Obama derangement syndrome, right?
They're running on a lot of hate and fear, and I think that the best thing to do is just encourage turnout. I know it's annoying. I know it's a pain. I know nobody wants to go to the polls. Just go. You have the right to do it. It's a privilege and an honor to be able to elect people in this country.
Yeah. You can take your smartphone and still watch your mini gerbils eating mini burritos.
Take advantage of
Just do it.
It's ridiculous that the reason we win or lose elections in this country is lack of turnout, unlucky apathy.
Unlucky because my polling place is about 30-second walk.
Most people.
I was embarrassed last time. I swear to God, I think it took me like under 45 seconds to vote.
Yeah.
You know, and you're watching these people in Florida in 10-hour lines, you know.
But they a lot of times, I mean, in states where you have to drive, you know, a long distance. There are places where you still have to drive a long distance, but in most areas, they put your polling places in your precinct close to you intentionally. Go out and vote. And especially in midterm elections, there's just not the long lines that there are, obviously, during...
We need to get all tribal on their ass, too.
Yeah, I mean, we're a big tent party, which is what happens, and we don't have the same messaging, and it's harder to hurt all the cats, because we're all running in different directions.
Exactly.
I think it's important.
It's like getting Emmy out of your sink, your cat. That's what it's like getting Democrats to vote in midterms.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
She should have her polling place in
especially
the sink.
Especially when it's hot like this.
Oh, Emmy needs to have her polling place in the sink.
I'm like, I do like to brush my teeth once in a while. Do you mind?
I love the look. She looks so inconvenienced when you want to use your sink. Really?
You have a kitchen.
Bill and Madison.
There's a hose outside. What is wrong with you?
Bill and Madison, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Mom and Jackie, the Mook.
Hi.
I want to know why. I mean, I understand that a small company where maybe you only have one person in HR, why they would have an open enrollment period once a year. But why are we doing that at all? Why can't people just sign up when they want to?
Because people would sign up when they got sick. That's what the insurance companies don't want.
And
they don't. Yeah, yes. They don't. I mean, it's very simple because people would wait until they got sick to sign up for health insurance.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and so what they don't want to do is have people go, oh, I was just diagnosed with something. Let me now get health insurance.
Yeah.
So they want to make sure that people have it when they're healthy
so
that it helps offset the cost.
Right.
It's part
that's what insurance is.
Yeah. So that's why there's an enrollment period. It's you can't just anytime you want to get health insurance to cover yourself for something that was already diagnosed.
I'm sorry we couldn't get to all the people that were holding to find out what you're wearing underneath that.
Hi, Jackie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like a tank top. It's nothing particularly sexy. It's just a tank top.
Okay.
But you can ask me. I mean, obviously, I'm always on Twitter.
Yes.
And you can. I have a Facebook page.
Yep.
You are very responsive.
I do. Well, I have a lot of free time.
To watch hamsters eating burritos.
And answer questions.
Max means that sexually, and I also meant it on Twitter. She's very responsive. Please. She will answer your questions.
I will try, and if I can, I'll try and steer you in the right direction.
There you go.
All right, we will see if sexy liberal John Fugelsang tomorrow, Fridays with Fugelsang. Love you, Jackie.
I love you guys, too.
Max means that in a weird way. See you tomorrow.